What context are we talking about?
Jealousy.
And he says that jealousy is one of the first sins ever committed. How was it the first sin ever committed? Who? The shaitan. The shaitan, Allah, when he told the shaitan to bow down to Adam, the reason he didn't bow down to him is because of jealousy. And we said this is a disease that's infected the Jews very much. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَشَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِيدِ أَفُسِيمُ. It's the wish of the people of the book that they render you as non-believers out of the jealousy within them. Allah said in the Quran, out of the jealousy within them. Okay, who's going to be smart enough to tell me how many kinds of jealousy? I broke it down and I wrote it down for you last week. How many is there? Go ahead. No. Try one less. Go ahead. Okay. Do you remember any one of them? Anyone? What is it? Ghutba. Very good. Do you remember what that word meant? Okay. If you see that I have a car and you wish like it, is that hasad or ghibta?
Ghibta.
What's the difference between the two?
The first one, we have
to see the car, and the second one, we wish. Mashallah. Very good. Very, very good. Mashallah. Very impressive. Besides, MashaAllah, our Ibn Abbas, this is the Ibn Abbas of our fashion. Like you said, the first one is, we said many times, the first one is hasad, where you wish, that someone, you see something you like, you wish you had that, and you wish Allah deprived that person of it, the other person of it. This is hasad. Then we have, like he said, ghibta. I don't know how to spell it in English. How do you spell
it?
G. Okay, ghibta is like hasad. I see someone has a nice car, nice house, anything nice, but I don't wish that person be deprived of it. A newborn, anything nice, I wish it good, I don't wish that person be deprived of it. And the third one is also ghibta, that's recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who remembers spelling? That's recommended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is it? What's the hadith say? Does anyone know the hadith we said about the third one? We said hadith. I said the Prophet ﷺ recommended jealousy. He said it's good to be jealous. Do you remember? What is it? Go ahead.
It's about the prayer, iman, and
the Prophet ﷺ said, لا حسد إلا فتنتين. There's only jealousy in two things. One, first thing is one who Allah gave him wealth and you see him spending day and night. And that's the kind of good jealousy. And the second one is one Allah gave him the Quran and all he does is recite day in and day out. Why is hasad or jealousy, we're talking about jealousy today, why is hasad or jealousy among the evil sins? What's the main point of it? Anyone remember? What did we say about accepting Allah's will? When you are jealous of someone, you're not accepting Allah's will. You're not accepting this guy became a millionaire and you're a poor person. You're not accepting that he was good at school and you're not. Who's the one who did that? Who's the one who did both of them? Allah, the one who created you. So when you have hasad in you, you're basically not accepting that. That's why hasad is considered among the main sins. We said about this one. If you remember, we said Allah does not charge us by things we think of in our hearts or in our mind. You remember? Hasad is only in your mind usually. Does anyone remember how Allah gives us sins or reward for hasad? This breaks down to two.
Go ahead.
You act on the hasad or you? Okay, you act. Give someone else a chance. Go ahead, guys.
If you want to do something bad, but then you're not capable of doing it.
What were you going to
say? You took yours and sold it.
Okay, hasad is a heart thing. It's in your heart. No one knows about it, but Allah knows about it. However, Allah does not charge you by that what's in your heart. However, if you in your heart, like any other sin, if you say, I wish I had the money to go out Friday night and drink, go to the bar. You don't go. You know you get sin for that? I wish I had the money. You didn't do it. But had you had the means to go and you didn't go, you get sin for that. Same with hasad. Hasad sometimes is unintentional. You got poisoned. So when you get hasad, you do one of two things. You're either poisoning, and as we're going to mention, inshallah, like some of the Jewish words, you either praise that person, try to fight the devil within you, or you're going to say, I wish that man, that sister, that brother, that child is deprived of what they have. Oh, I wish I could be the leader. I wish I could write to someone. I wish I could do something to take away that which Allah gave you. You do that, that's when you get the sin. You fight it, you fight the devil, and then you get the reward. Because sometimes, or most of the time, it's a desire within you that you can't control. If you fight it, and you rebel against it within you, you get, end up getting ajr. If you go along with it, you say, I wish I could do something about it. I wish I could take the car. I wish I could write to someone and get kicked out of his job. I'm jealous of his good job that he has. I wish I could write the boss a lie, something defamatory, and get it, but I can't write. The boss won't believe me or something like that. Then you end up getting it, even though you didn't do nothing. And this is what we're talking about, how you get hasad. We said, to cure hasad, who wants to give me some cure to hasad? Sa'id, I gave you points. Go ahead. What is it? Prior to that, do you remember in order? Do you remember him? Did you write him down last week? The du'a. The du'a. You make du'a. First of all, take them in order. Take them in order. First of all, hasad kills the one who's jealous. If I have hasad, it's like a poet said, leave a fire. If you leave a fire alone, what happens to that fire? It's going to kill itself. It's going to burn itself. That's the person who has hasad. He's only burning himself. Because he's in his heart, he's wishing and wishing. He's having a nervous wreck. He's thinking about it, high blood pressure and all that. And what's going to happen at the end? Nothing. The man's going to have his mouth and car and child. And you're going to be in your agony and your misery. So you put that in your mind, you kill hasad that way. We're trying over here. I'm trying to teach you to be doctors, to cure this disease. These are heart diseases that we need to cure. And that's how we cure. No matter how much hatred you have against someone, you're not going to harm him at all. Another one. Who wants to give it a shot? Go ahead. When you do that, especially the one with the sin, the hatred, pain, the one that was sin that you wish against him, what you're doing is only giving that person you hate. The one you wish you didn't have a car, the one you wish you didn't have a job, the one you didn't wish you had a nice wife. The only thing you're doing to him is giving him deed. The one you hate, you're giving him deed. Because you come on the judgment day and you have hasad in your heart and you say, I wish he was deprived of this, I want to try to deprive him of it. He gets your ajr on the judgment day. He gets some ajr equivalent to that harm you had in your heart because you did not fight it. Okay. Number three is that it deprives you of a peaceful heart, peaceful life, and peaceful sense. Because like I mentioned, one with hasad, continuously the burning flame. Always thinking about people. You know some people, old women of our town, all they do is think about what, he got married, he got five kids, and you don't got no kids, and that's all they go around talking. Right, Abu Jibreel?
Right.
Right? Say that in our country a lot. Where you been, man? You haven't been, and just because you had a son, you think you're all that? How's your wife doing? Everything fine?
Alhamdulillah.
Who's our new friend? Nasser?
MashaAllah.
فلسطين وين هارت يونايتد قاسم
مش واحد
Okay, go ahead. The third harm, we're trying to tell you how to kill hasad in your heart. The third one is you deprive yourself of a good heart, of a peaceful life, and peaceful setting. All you bring to yourself is depression with hasad. That's basically what I'm saying. All you bring to your life is depression with hasad. The next one, the fourth one, is you must know that Allah gave everyone what they deserve. Don't fight about it. Don't go aggressive about it. He gave him what he deserves, and he's going to give you what you deserve. If you go aggressive in this life, you're only going to get that which you get. And if you take it easy, like Allah says in the Quran, punch you. You know, Allah, when he talks about obtaining wealth and living in this life, he says, punch you. A lot of people stand for it, and they say, punch you. What's the difference here? What's the difference between Sancho and Fatah? Hey, you don't know this one, it's a problem. What's the difference between Sancho? What's Inshi? Sahih. A non-Arabic will tell us.
I know what Inshi is.
What is it? What is it? What's Inshi?
Inshi what?
What? That's it. Run. Allah in the Quran, when he talks about working in this life, he said, "Lam shufi manakibiya." Some people change it around. You don't know the Quran, but Allah, wallahi. In fact, almost every time I hear an ignorant person say it, he say, "Fat'u fi manakibiya." Meaning, run, go vigorously for this life. It's the opposite. The Quran always has it, "Lam shufi." What? Literally. When it comes to Islamic stuff, ibadah stuff, fat'u. Fat'u ila dhikrillah. For what? It's always in the Quran, "Lam shufi." What? And the other one is fat'al. And that's why you have to know in the Quran, like Allah said in the Quran, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ. Allah wrote everything. It's not that you sit in your house and you think that there, Allah's going to bring you your wealth to your house. You got to go by the means, however you don't overdo it. You don't overdo it, because that which Allah wrote you in His book is going to come to you. Okay, the next one, and I told you this is the most important one, is to kill hasad, is to make dua for that person. This is the best one, and I think the most effective one. You have jealousy of someone, I don't care what it is. What is it? What Allah gave him? Make dua for that person, Allah is gonna kill the hasad, the jealousy that's in your heart. To me personally, this is the best one. At night time, you got jealous of someone, the shaitan needs to get jealousy. Make dua for it. May Allah give him more. You're going to see that your heart became clean right after that. This is the most practical and best and most rewardful one to clean your heart. And the last one is knowing the importance. There's many more, but we briefly take them. Knowing the importance of having a clean heart. We know that on the judgment day, one of the most important things that can allow you entry to heaven is a clean heart. A clean heart free from these kind of diseases. You know, you got physical diseases, AIDS, cancer, many other kinds of diseases. These are physical diseases. We also have internally heart diseases like this one, like Hazar Hazar. So Allah on the judgment day says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day that Allah will not, no one, nothing will be of help to you. No wealth and no children. Your children can help you now. But on the judgment day, they can't help you. Your wealth can help you now. On the judgment day, they can't help you. One thing Allah made an exception to show you how important it is. Qalb Saleem, a clean heart. You come to Allah, oh Allah, I forgive my brother, the one who talked about me, the one who did this to me, oh Allah, I forgave them all. I didn't have charity, but I forgave them all. That's just like giving charity. Oh Allah, I had jealousy and I fought vigorously against it to maintain a clean heart. This is one of the things that saved your path in heaven. And I told you the story about Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, the one that he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the next man to walk upon you, Umar, why don't you tell us that story?
I said, I'm going to follow this man and find out what it is.
statement that you might have told them that, you know, I have a question in my family. So, you say, you know, you can find anything that you think is better than me. So, he finally asked me, he said, I don't have any question in my family. He said, I want to find out why the prophet said 3 days in a row a year of the finish. So, he said, I can't think of anything except that. And I put my head down to sleep all my troubles.
Meaning he had a clean heart. The reason the Prophet chose him out of all the Sahaba was he forgave everyone. He chose him. No one was with him. The hadith doesn't have his name in it. The reason the Prophet ﷺ chose him out of everyone was every time he goes to sleep, he cleans his heart of any kind of feeling. Hasad, hatred, problems. You always have, any time you mingle with brothers or sisters, you have to have problems. But he said, every time I go to sleep, I clean my heart, and that was a path to him from for heaven. Okay, the next point where we talked about was the difference between Ayn and Hasad. Ayn and Hasad. Ayn is the evil eye. When I say Ayn, it means the evil eye. Hasad means jealousy. I told you that it's similar in a way, and different in a way. Hasad is like the broad area of it. Broad. Ayn is not the part, it's the minor part. So everyone who has Ayn must have Hasad, but not the opposite. Everyone who has Ayn must have Hasad. Not everyone who has Hasad has Ayn. And we said among the differences is that Hasad is when you look at something and you say, wow, why did Allah give him so much? Why did Allah give him so good? And the Ayn is an astonishment. Something good that happens that astonishes you. And we said hasad happens to your enemies. Enemy. Ayn happens to yourself. Your child. You could hit your child, yourself, your close one, your loved one, your car with an evil eye. And also another difference is that hasad, you can have it in things. I can get jealous of things that happen or things about to happen. Ayn is only things that are happen, or you know, or someone has a child, someone barakah, someone graduated. It has to happen for the evil eye to hit. Hasad, no. Hasad, you don't have to have, it doesn't have to happen. You may, it's not, maybe something in the future that will happen. Okay. Anyone want to give me proof that the eye is evil eye true? Because some people deny it. Ayn, we're now talking about evil eye, the subcategory of hasad. Ayn is the evil eye, it's the subcategory of hasad. There's people who deny that evil eye ever happened. What is evil eye? Evil eye, like I said, you look at something and you don't do the things we're going to talk about and you hit it and that person dies, becomes ill, becomes that thing that he bought becomes very bad. The proof on that is the first verse in the Quran, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. And there are those, Allah said, لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. There are those of the kuffar who look at you in a way that is the evil eye. The interpreters of the surah said it's when the kuffar look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in jealousy and in an evil eye. There's a true hadith in Sahih Bukhari Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Aynu Haq. Decisive. The eye, the evil eye, is true. Meaning it's something eminent and true. The Prophet ﷺ.
What eye is that?
وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ.
What surah? An eye. He says the first eye, didn't he? It can't be the first
ayah. It's the ayah at the end of the surah. I think it's the surah before Ar-Rahman. But inshallah, I'll look it up for you after the test. Okay. وَإِنْ يَكَادَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. The first proof is the ayah. The second proof is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in Bukhari Muslim, الْعَيْنُ حَقٌّ. The third proof is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, seek refuge from Allah, from an evil eye. Seek refuge from Allah, from an evil eye. And I told you a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an evil eye follows someone to the point that he goes up a mountain, falls down dead, He falls down dead from a mountain, and the reason he falls down dead from that mountain is because of the evil eye. And the last proof, many proofs, but the one that I present you is the Prophet used to seek refuge from an evil eye until Allah revealed, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. The Prophet used to say, oh Lord, give me refuge from the evil eye. Oh Allah, give me refuge from the evil eye. When قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ were revealed, those were sufficient. Instead of seeking refuge directly, he just recited those. Okay, I mentioned a hadith of the first year. That hadith, I said, was when Sa'd ibn Hunayn radiallahu anhu took a shower, and Amr ibn Rabi'ah, Sa'd ibn Hunayn, took a shower, and he was very white skinned and very soft skinned, something they didn't have back then much. So when Amr seen him, he said, you look better than the virgins of our tongues. So as soon as he said that, Sa'd ibn Hunayn fell ill. The Prophet ﷺ was presented with the situation. He said, who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? They told him, we suspect Amr. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered Amr to take a shower, and from the remainder of that water, to take a shower, there's a tub. They had a tub exactly like ours, you know, identical to ours. Except they didn't have running water, but they had tubs. And in the remaining water, that person who was hit by an evil eye takes it and showers with it, and that's a cure for it. This is, of course, when you know who hit you with the evil eye, or when you know, or when you suspect who hit you with an evil eye. Okay, we got to break this down. You know, right on, I mentioned one of them actually last week. The refuge from an evil eye of the saying of the...
good question. We were talking about that right there. In other words, you can say he complimented me. You said you were good, right?
There's a difference between a compliment and looking at something. There's a difference between a compliment and looking at someone, you know, with wishing that you had that, or a look of astonishment. I'll tell you how hasad becomes. Hasad, the outer boundary is hasad. Hasad too much, and you fulfill your heart with so much hasad, you're going to start having an evil eye. That disease becomes more and more to the point where you have an evil eye. It's not an innocent look or nice, you know. Actually, the non-Muslims have less of an evil eye than us Muslims do. Muslims have jealousy among each other more than the non-Muslims. Usually, the non-Muslim doesn't care what you have. You look or nice car and just keep passing by. But the Muslim looks with the evil look. And this becomes bad because you didn't train yourself when hasad happened to train yourself to the point to kill it. There's towns in Saudi where the whole town, if they were to see anyone pass by and they look at astonishment in it, they could destroy it. If a caravan came back, a plane passing by with camel, they could look at it and destroy it. If they know of someone who got married and they're happy, and you tell one of them, actually evil people do that. They go and tell them, oh, they're so happy, they got married. Then they're very good and they love each other. They end up with the evil eye with two people end up divorcing. This is because you train yourself, you keep hasad going and going to the point where you don't restrain it, you get the evil eye and you harm people by that. But we're going to tell you, if you like something, we're going to tell you compliment to someone that's great in Islam. We're going to tell you what to do. So we know, I broke down to you last week before, we're going to talk about before an evil eye hits you, what you do as a precaution.
Can you get the evil eye, just say because you practice Islam well? Can somebody give you the evil eye?
If you practice Islam well?
Yeah, you say the person.
I know a sheikh who used to teach us in Saudi Arabia. He had one of the beautiful voices in Quran. People used to love his voice. he has turned out, his voice turns out to be one of the ugliest voices in a matter of things. You know why? Evil eyes. Evil eyes. People heard it, and they say the things that we're going to tell you to say, and that the things that Ali Mushrik al-Amri, very famous, very well known. He comes on Al Jazeera channel sometimes, and he would, I think actually this morning there was a program on evil eyes, which is amazing. They were talking about jinn and evil eyes, and I think he was there, but I had fell asleep, so I didn't see it. But they said his name was on there. So, if you see something you like, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then ask Allah barakah for it. Anything you see, whether it's yourself or whether it's your children, the number one precaution, like I say, is the best cure. How you won't have an evil eye is the first thing. If you see something you like, ask Allah barakah. A perfect hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How you ask Allah barakah? Write this down. Barakallahu fee. Barakallahu fee. This is A. Because the Prophet only said, ask Allah barakah. He didn't say ask. In how the Sahaba used to ask barakah is A. This is all under number one. Is barakallahu fee. Allahumma barik alayhi. B. Allahumma barik alayhi. Where is your brother? You wrote the Dua in Arabic. Or barakallahu lak. Barakallahu lak. Imran, tell me all three. First, what's the origin of this? What did I say? Why did we say this dua? What's the hadith? What's the proof? Sahih. What's the proof?
Prophet
said
something.
Ask Allah for barakah. Okay. And the first word is barakallahu fi, Allahumma barak alayhi, or barakallahu la. Barakallahu la.
La?
La. Barakallahu la.
What is,
How about mabruk? Mabruk, right? You guys say mabruk.
Yeah. When somebody says barakallahu fi, how do you reply to them?
You tell them jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. Anything. You know, I get sure. There's no something said.
So, Mr. Alhamdulillah, you mentioned that. Someone told me that today.
About the dua?
Just told me that. Barakallah fi. And I think
yeah.
Tell me how you came up with that.
You don't say mabruk. You don't say mabruk. Mabruk is a slang, Arabic. You don't say it. Mabruk, as you mentioned, you know, you see it in greeting cards, wedding cards, when people meet each other. You don't say mabruk. Mabruk is an Arabic slang. You say, Allahumma barak lak, the three ones we mentioned. Mabruk is a slang. Go ahead. Barakallahu lak, barakallahu fi, Allahumma barak lak. I'm sorry, Allahumma barak alayk. Allahumma barak alayk. Ta'id, repeat all three.
Barakallahu fi sri. Allahumma barak alayk. And barakallahu fi lak.
Good, great. Number two in the dua, in the Quran, is MashaAllah Tabarakallah. MashaAllah Tabarakallah. It's a verse in the Quran. Allah was trying to tell one person who owned a garden to say MashaAllah Tabarakallah when he seen the garden of another one. However, the first three we mentioned are more appropriate and more authentic because they're directed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But since it's in the Quran, we could say it. It's MashaAllah Tabarakallah. That's number two. MashaAllah Tabarakallah. Number three, you consistently keep your heart tied to Allah. Not just tied to Allah, thinking about Allah, with praising and zikr to Allah. This is good for two reasons. It's good to secure you and your children and your wealth or whatever you have. And it's good to keep your heart clean from hasad. Always have zikr. Make dua. You see, you know, we're not Muslims who don't talk. Always utter your lips with dua and good things, stuff like that. So you can keep your heart tied with Allah. The fourth one is Ayatul Kursi. Everyone know Ayatul Kursi? Ayatul Kursi.
No.
Skandal. It's about time you write in, man. Where's your writer? Where's number four? Your cult is falling apart. Your cult, your gang.
I'm trying my best.
They're falling apart. I think you need to bring in more and more. Now they're becoming less and less. Take charge of scumbag. Put your foot down. Ayatul Kursi. You recite Ayatul Kursi and Al-Mu'awwidhat. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. These are the best. You have to say these, if not twice a day, 10, 15, 20 times a day. Ayatul Kursi. I'm not sure, does anyone know what verse it is? 254. 254 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the last two surahs of the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْكَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I told you, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْكَلَقِ is a direct verse about evil eyes. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. And from the evil person who has jealousy within him. Okay, there's another dua. Bismillah. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه
Now this is for someone who knows, you know who did. Go ahead.
Well, you can, of course, a Catholic can do it, but a Muslim should, even Muslims won't do it today. So what do you think, I'm evil or something? They would never do it. But they, in Islam, the Prophet said, if you're asked today for this purpose, you must do it. Yes. If you're sure or most likely they did, yes. Yes, you can. Okay, the next one is Arukyat Sharia, recitation from the Quran. As we know, the Quran is a cure from everything. And the Adhkar of the Prophet, like you said, are a cure for everything. However, in this area, usually you go to a sheikh, you tell him, Al-Fahim Musa'id, most of them are scammers. They just want to take your money, instead of mumble and a bunch of stuff, and tell you what you want. This is why we're teaching you this. You don't need to go to a sheikh. Inshallah, most of this happens. What if it happens? You can cure yourself. You don't have to pay a sheikh or nothing. And the problem is, when you do Ruqya Sha'iyya, you got to keep these things in mind. Ruqya means recitation over that thing, that God, that whatever it may be, human or not human, you recite over it to cure it, and you got to keep these things in mind. Number one, it has to be the words of Allah, clear words of Allah, Quran. Number two, it has to be in Arabic or understand, or language to understand. Why do I say this? First one, A. We're talking about A. It has to be the word of Allah. Second one has to be Arabic or a language you understand. Because you go to some chairs and they start mumbling stuff. But seriously, no joking, you heard that. And they start saying stuff just to work here in your baby. No one knows the secret formula about us. And these are probably evil people who deal with the jinn. Inshallah, we'll be talking about that. That's a totally different issue. But these are probably evil people who deal with jinn. So you got to make sure. It's either in Arabic, the best. The Quran, the language of the Quran. If it's not in Arabic, maybe understand English or Urdu. Has to be something from the Quran that you know of. Knowing, number three, you know that Quran, that dua, is not a cure in itself. That dua is not a cure itself. It's only a method Allah presented for you so Allah can cure you. It's some means that you use so Allah can cure you. The first and last resort is in Allah's hands. This is only a means that Allah provided for you so Allah can cure you. Okay. Everyone got it? Any questions?
Was it A, B, no C?
C. First one we said it has to be from the Quran. Second, Arabic or a language that you understand. And the third one is you believe that doesn't affect you alone, that it's from Allah, meaning it's from Allah. That wording itself is not what's going to bring you cure or harm. It's only Allah through this word that will bring you the cure.
If you use one of the cures, is it automatically...
If you have the right intention, right heart, and right intention, and you put your faith in Allah, yes, it's going to be cured, inshallah.
What if it's Arabic, for example, but someone like me doesn't understand Arabic? You know it's Arabic, you know what you're hearing, but you don't.
Well,
not every word that someone can tell you.
You should make sure, because there's a lot of evil people who will take this as a living. You should know, tell them, where is this in the Quran? Tell them, show me what you're reading in the Quran. Yeah, you're not going to understand it, so tell them, okay, where's the verse? And look at it in the Quran, you'll see it. If it's not, then you tell them, I don't want that being recited. That's evil stuff that's being recited. Okay, from the Ruqya, that's the Prophet told us about what? Tell me one of them. If someone comes to the evil eye, says, recite something upon him. We already took this, just a minute ago. What's one of the most important things you could do?
I said
Kursi. Great, number. Number two. Al-Mu'awwidhat. What is it? What did you say? That's prior. We're talking after. I said Kursi, and this. Why we said this? Ayatul Kursi and Al-Mu'awwidhat, Ayatul Kursi and Al-Mu'awwidhat work both ways. Before it happens and after. Ayatul kursi. Some go to the shahiyya. Someone comes to you sick with a new one, you put your hand on him and say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. All these surahs, this is before it happened, these three verses, and after it happened. Also you say, wa'idhukum bi kalimat. Wa'idhukum, if it's a surah, you're saying it to all your kids. Or a'idhuka, if it's for one. Wa'idhuka bi kalimat illahi. Wa'idhuka wa ila aslah. Wa'idhuka bi kalimat كلمات الله التامة من كل شيء. محمد, why you not read it? Why don't you recite it to your son Jibreel when you go home? These are the words that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite it to say it to Al-Hasan al-Husayn radiallahu anhu. You know Al-Hasan al-Husayn, beautiful, two little kids of his daughter Fatima, who the Prophet ﷺ used to spoil. He was given speech on the Friday speech, give a Friday speech, and they come with long dresses. Long dresses their mother put on them. They're stumbling, walk and fall because it's so long. The Prophet ﷺ leaves his Friday khutbah, gets down and carries both of them and gets back up and gives the khutbah. Or when he's making salah, look how merciful the Prophet is. Today, the little kid goes next to Imam, he probably slapped him and tear his head off. The Prophet ﷺ used to make sujood, and during sujood, they come and climb on his back. And the Prophet saying sujood, stand. So the Sahaba means something happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stayed so long, something happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to come at Hazrat al-Husayn, and the Prophet laying down on his back, and his belly button. So they go and urinate in the Prophet's belly button. And the Sahaba jumps to attack them and take them away. And they say, leave them. And this is one of the hadith, look how the Prophet ﷺ once, this hadith in itself teaches you one of the most important things about the heart, of how the Prophet ﷺ, what happened, if someone here in time, is a baby, what you do, is an elder, what's the title of things that happen? Is the Sahaba jumps again, and the Prophet ﷺ leaves them. It's a tajima, leave them finished, because you may harm them. And he used to always give them this du'a that we were saying about. He used to always recite it upon from the evil. I said, they're beautiful. Of course, the Prophet is the most, one of the most beautiful men to live on this planet. His daughter thought him the same thing. She looked like him, and she thought like him. Same man, same demeanor, same even facial appearance of her, and the same with the grandkids of Al-Hasan and Hussein, radiallahu anhum. There is the master of the young people in heaven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Sayyidah Shabab Ahli Jannah in heaven. Meaning, the masters of the young people, you know, there's always people you look up to. Young people look up to another young person. The ones that are going to be like that in heaven is the Hasan and Hussein. They're the ones that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss them on their lips. To the point when Hussein was killed, and Hussein wasn't killed directly by Yazid like his wife's friend. And Yazid wanted control, and he sent the commander, he said, don't allow people to give commitment to Hussein. Don't be allow people of Baghdad, from Iraq, give commitment to Hussein. That's all he said. So, this man went beyond, the general under Yazid went beyond his control, and he not only took Yazid, he killed Yazid. And he chopped his neck out, he said, I'm going to make Yazid. Yazid General, sent someone, he said, block Al-Hussein. I don't want you to head to Baghdad and get commitment of the people there. So this general, evil man, he said, you know what, I'm going to make Yazid happy. I'm going to bring the head of Al-Hussein to Yazid. He cut, after a long story, I'm making it very brief, he cut the head of Hussein and he took it all the way back to Yazid. Yazid started crying. Unlike many people say, Yazid started crying. He said, you know whose head you cut off. And not only that, the general who killed him, he put his head, and he started holding a branch to it and playing with it. Playing with the legs, playing with the mouth. You know who's literally that? These were the lips that the Prophet ﷺ used to cherish and hold in him. And These were the people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised as young ones, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no kid of his own. So his dua to these kids, which are considered like his kids, were as the dua were mentioned in here. Every time you see them, and they're so beautiful that you don't want evil eyes to him, he say this dua over there. Not only that, this is the dua, he used to tell the people around him as he said this dua, this is the dua Ibrahim used to say to his kid, Ismail and Ishaq. Who's the mother of Ismail and Ishaq? Who's the mother of Ismail and Ishaq? You were at the seminar? Who is the mother of Ismail and Ishaq? Does anyone know? Which one of them? Which one of them? Why weren't you at the seminar? Okay. The mother of Ismail is the mother of Ishaq and Ismail. Is Sarah. Because Hajar is the mother. I'm sorry. The mother of Ishaq and Yaqub, Ishaq and Yaqub is Sarah. Sarah. And the mother of Ismail is Hajar. Okay, I'm not done with that. I just want to show this, just an introduction to show you the importance of this dua that everyone says to their kids. So you're going to say it to Jibreel, Muhammad, right?
Excuse me. You could write, you yeah. Could you write
the dua stuff? Okay.
Now, this is the third sentence.
some of the innovations in the matter of the ayin. Some of the innovations. Number one, sure, a lot of people go and tell, you know, think that if a holy person makes dua or this person says some kind of thing over that person, they think that in itself is a cure. If you go to someone to make dua for me, that's good. But they think taking it to some certain person or to some certain place, that's going to be a cure for it. That shirk is that haram that takes you out of Islam. Number two is what we mentioned. To do ruqiyah, recitation, and name the seer or not. You know, like I was mentioning, that is in Jalal Jim, I don't know what else they say. Same is these are people of deal with jinn, and it may be kufr what they say. Number three is to hang the blue eye that you guys see in cars and on the chest of some people. To hang the blue eye or tamaim. Who knows what's not what the tamaim? Huh? Okay, what is it? I think most of us have this problem. My question is, we had it when I was a little kid, we had it. It's kufr. This is, you cannot do it, and it takes you out of the Islam.
Didn't you say before, it's haram if you believe that will keep the iron or generation?
That's different. We're talking about it's two things that will happen if you believe in it. What the Tamima is, the definition first of all, the Tamima, if you go to some scholar or someone or Quran or whatever it may be, and he puts small pages of Quran in the mother usually folds it up and she puts it next to the baby or in the baby's pocket on the baby's knee or she gives it to the child, you never take it out. You know what I'm talking about, Splenda. You have a lot in your country, right? Shall they go back and destroy all their evil? Right? Inshallah. Okay. This is two things. First thing, if you believe this truly, the sunnah, be your resort from Allah, meaning that this is going to protect you, that's good. You took yourself out of time. You got to start all over again. If you believe this may be means for Allah to help you, you can't say that's kufr, but that's a major innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you do it so Allah can help you. You do it thinking your life is going to be protected. Thinking your death is going to be protected. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَلَحَتَمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ. Whoever hangs his tamima, may Allah never continue good upon him. You got the dua, you hang it for protection, you got the dua of the Prophet against you. Whomever hangs his tamima, or puts it around him or on, may Allah never continue upon him good. Same thing. Jinn or evil eye, or black magic, all of it. They use it for all these three purposes. Okay, the Prophet said, now.
But it's okay for decorations.
If you have a wall on your house, you know, if it's just mere decoration, well, it's not going to be decorated. It should be recycled to recycle. But if you have just mere decoration, that doesn't fall under the one we're talking about today. That's a sort of different topic. But it's inshallah not haram or innovation or anything. If it's mere decoration, not protection. Decoration, right? You got it?
Yeah.
Alright,
what's your question?
The Prophet said, Man alaqa tamimatan qabla ashra. Whoever means the tamima, he committed shirk. And the Prophet went on to the point of saying, whoever takes the tamima, cuts it off someone's neck, it's as though he freed a slave. Meaning a great reward for someone who ordains the good and forbids the evil in this manner because it's a severe kind of shirk. You take it off. You know someone, you pass to your country, you find people doing it. You know, paying it, putting it in their pocket, in their car. You say, no, don't do this or I'll take it off. The Prophet said you give the ajr of freeing a slave, which is one of the biggest ajr you get in Islam.
But you really need the friendship.
It's good. It's good. It's okay for you.
My friendship is not.
Yeah, if you can do it in a good manner, it doesn't mean to do it by force. This hadith doesn't mean to do it by force. It means to do it, meaning you'll be a cause for him to remove it. You don't even have to do it physically yourself. You'll be a cause for him to remove it. You know, and usually, this is ignorant. I'm telling you, as a child, had one. So the Quran, I still remember. But we found out, and it was explained to us, that this is shirk. That's it. Shirk. Taking a burden.
Carrying
the Quran on you, why are you carrying it?
Carrying it
to read it. Only
that's what confuses me when I see these guys wearing this thing around their hand.
Foolish stuff. Similar to this, actually. They believe that that is a cure for them, and that deters people from them, and that's all either shirk, like I said, make your shirk take you out of town, or at least a big innovation.
But what if they see when you see any prayer?
The eye, that blue eye, you see on every gang member's car.
Yes.
Yeah, that's haram.
But what if I wear a patch for design?
You wear one now?
No.
What kind of patch? Quran?
The ones you buy.
You do it for design? There's no problem with that. Just like the Prophet ﷺ dreams had Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had it Muhammad Rasulullah, if you want to do something like that, but of course, you know, you gotta know the respect of it. You don't take in the bathroom, you don't take in bad places, but there's no problem.
Okay. So if I wear a patch because I think it looks nice,
there's no problem with that.
Can you write on a skin?
No, can't do tattoos. You think of that time jumping in a game again? Get a tattoo on?
That's the
Everything
you write
in the body.
Nah.
Everything
you write.
Well, if you write with a pen, you won't get the way, you know, but we're talking permanent stuff. Permanent stuff is haram. You can't get it in Allah's creation. Nah. Like what? The one with thicker? I can't say that's haram.
Yeah.
I just find it's not right for Muslims to do stuff.
What? You've got those, say you're a holiday back in the day, and you went out and you grew up and got a mind now, okay? And you know it's wrong, but back then when you were, you know, you didn't know that, now you do. What are you supposed to do? Like, what would Allah tell me for that? Should you get certain things?
Well, you should try to get it removed, but Allah forgives all the things. As soon as you repent, Allah will forgive you. However, Allah's forgiveness is that you have to compensate for what you did. If it's something, a tattoo, you have that, you try to get rid of it. However, maybe you can't afford a laser surgery. You can't afford it. Or you can't get rid of it. You're in a country, you can't get rid of it. That's it. You repented, that's it. Allah forgives that which happened in the past. I know, man, before they had these laser surgeries, I know. He repented to Allah and his tattoo. He took sandpaper and he started doing money. He's very good. It's nothing. Nothing. He's not going to do nothing. Then when they had the latest surgery, he could afford it. He took care of it. But if you can't afford it, it's not available in your country, Allah forgive all the sin you do the best you can, inshallah. Okay. There is some kind of precious stones, and amongst them are the blue eyes that you see. People think in that's a deterrent from evil eyes. Also, there's, I think she would call it, like a lace that people put around their neck. In addition to the command that we mentioned, a lace that you put around your neck, some people tend to believe that as you take it to a sheikh, you recite the fire, it becomes holy, you keep it around your neck or on your hand or whatever, like some of the things you were mentioning, and this deters people from it. All this, of course, is innovation and haram. You know, I think this is the end of this hadith. We'll take general questions, because a lot of the people are not here because they have finals. We should have canceled this week. Because a lot of people are here, and I ask Allah to reward those who have finals and came here. Inshallah, you'll do great, and we'll see you next week. But if you have general questions, I'll be staying here and answer them.
I'll ask you next.
Okay. Any questions, sister? No?
I'm thinking about the washing after the conditioning, which is not.
What is it? Oh, how much? Well, I don't just put it around the body. Maybe that person has chest pain. Maybe has twist around the body. You don't need a whole bunch of water. Something average. You would say something average of the time. I mean, if it's someone who doesn't have to fully from head to toe, have bathed in it completely, but he should be able to wipe around the area, especially that hurt him or his entire body, if it's something that concerns his entire body. It depends on the situation and how bad it hurt, his hurt, or maybe it's a car. If it's a car, you need a little bit more than a human being to wipe the car with. Now, yes, the person that has, for example, his hand or arm or someone who's muscular, he gets hit by evil eye because he has strong hands. He just washes his hands only. And he's smart and he gets a headache, continuous headache. And you know someone hit him with an evil eye. You wash his head. Only the part, of course, that was hit by an evil eye. Two people? Yeah, you can ask them both. This can become a sweat. If you don't restrain this, it becomes a devil instigated to you, and maybe you think everyone. You start thinking everyone around you is hitting you with the evil eyes. And usually what you do if they're a friend or someone you suspect, you always tell them, say mashallah, tabarakallah. You agree when all of those family when I was at your house, they come in and say, what are you going to tell them to say? What are you going to tell them to say? And look at your thing for them. Oh, wow.
Allah Mubarak, amen. That's good. Your friend rescued you.
Allah Mubarak, lahu. Allah Mubarak, lahu. Don't be shy. Someone wants to say, oh, be shy. They're going to come to say that. They're going to be. Someone say Allah Mubarak lahu. Or you say it, and if they're decent people, they're going to repeat it. Because you don't want harm to happen to you. Like I told you, in the time of the Sahaba, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, the people who used to look at a caravan of camel. And it still happens to today. By the time the caravan passes by, every single camel in that caravan is dead. It still happens to today.
Even a car and evil
eyes? Yes. For sure. Oh, doesn't matter. Doesn't have to have a spirit. There's no rule that says that evil eye only is. Could be a house. You see, you have a beautiful house. You buy a nice, very nice house, someone sees it, and they don't say, Allah Mubarak lahu. And there are persons who's manifested with that evil eye. Yeah, something's going to happen to that house. Tornado's going to hit it. Fire. It's going to be destroyed. Light it up. Fall down. Something's going to happen to it.
Could they be manifested with it and not know it?
Yes. Good. You think they know it? Most of them don't know it. It's just, when you're not very Islamic appropriate, you're not as a disease. Don't you have people who go 20 years without knowing they have AIDS? 10, 15 years, they go without knowing they have AIDS. Now, especially now they go 10, maybe 10 years, they don't know they have AIDS. Or cancer. Same thing. They go a long time, then they found out 10 before they die. Same thing with these diseases. You can go your entire life and you never find out. Die, and you never find out that you have it. That's why but one of the best years is to relax. Know that Allah gave them what they deserve. What you deserve. Keep your heart tied with Allah. Any question?
How about you have a
general, go ahead, yes.
How important is it for you to get yourself to prison?
You must be as precise as you can. If you're a little bit off, I mean.
But I'm saying, something with the East country, say North East, no matter how extreme you go, you might never be able to have it.
You do the best you can according to the educated guess of the scholars. Like we have Islamic organizations who told us which way to think. You follow them. If there is any sin, it's going to be falling upon them. The Jebel Masjid, the Dish Masjid?
You know what? You see how they pray now? I remember as a little kid, he prayed the opposite. For about 6 years, he prayed opposite. When I was a little kid. Then they changed it. It was the opposite. Now they pray this way. We used to pray that way. Then they changed it that way. We prayed another 3 years like that, and it was the last one with some representative came from the Muslim World League, and he brought some equipment, very big equipment, and said, we're going to pray in this way, and this was the way we prayed.
We prayed that way, because he was doing it from the morning to something with it.
I don't know what direction, I have no idea, but I know this time, what the Muslim organization, I think they're very, very well with the technology that they know which direction to go and try to follow the best way you can. It's a little bit off. I mean, you could pray your back to the Qibla for years, you don't know about it, I don't know who accepts your prayers. So the most important thing is the intention on this matter.
Now, because they say like that, the short frequency is going to form a schedule, you know, you're listening, even though you never went to college.
And
then
that's
why it works. All I know, I can tell you, you face the Kaaba when you pray. I don't know the true distance. I just listen to what the organization tells us, whatever direction they say. I have no idea. I have no idea at all. Any more questions? That's it. Okay, those who need to study for the final. Jazakumullah khair for coming. Inshallah, we'll see you next. We have one next week. It's the final. Is the final here today, too? Because Wednesday, they all didn't come because of that. Okay, excuse us.